Well, thank you very much for having me here. I am pleased to say that the Independent National Electoral Commission is adequately prepared to conduct the general elections in February next year. We have used the last 4 years to plan and to execute those plans in preparation for the elections. And if you recall, we had barely 8 months as a new commission to prepare and conduct the 2011 general elections. So we've now got more time, which we put to good use. And we've introduced many additional new things that can add to the integrity of the electoral process. So I feel confident that we are now adequately prepared to do the 2015 general elections and to make it much, much better than the 2011 general elections.
So, Jigar, you just monitored some of the elections here in the U.S. What lessons will you draw from this in order to improve some of the work that you're doing in terms of organizing and administering the election that you say will be credible?
Well, two key lessons that struck me. One is that it is possible to achieve perfection in the conduct of elections, but it also takes time to be able to do it. And in the U.S., for almost the 200 or so years of the country's existence, elections have been conducted. And doing it, you know, over time has made the issue of conducting elections very, very routine in terms of the logistics and the operational preparations of the election. And so it takes time. It requires, of course, trust of the voters and the participants in the electoral process, trust and confidence in the electoral administration to do a good job, to do an impartial job, and to do an honest job. In our own countries, because we are making trials and errors, we haven't done it well sufficiently to be able to earn that trust and confidence. So virtually every move we make is suspected. And because of that, there are a lot of challenges as you prepare to conduct elections. But I must say that I admire the professionalism and the efficiency with which elections are conducted here. And we have a lot to take in terms of what we need to do to adequately train our staff to be better managers of election, and also what we need to do as election management bodies to earn the trust and the confidence of the voters as well as the politicians who participate in elections.
You talked about winning the confidence of the electorate or prospective voters in Nigeria. How do you intend to do this so that Nigerians will repose confidence in the ability of the Electoral Commission to administer a credible vote, devoid of what some people say is election engineering, bias towards one party or another?
We believe that to earn the trust and confidence of the people, we have to protect the integrity of the Electoral Commission. We have to ensure that it is nonpartisan, it is impartial, and under any circumstances, it provides a level playing field for all contestants. These are very, very important requirements to assuage suspicions and accusations or allegations, and to also earn the trust and confidence of the voters as well as the contestants in the electoral process. But then we also have to pay attention to ensuring that there are remarkable improvements operationally and in terms of logistics of deployment of electoral materials. In Nigeria, these have been very, very challenging. If polling units do not open on time and if materials are mixed up during distribution, It undermines trust and confidence in the system, and it questions the integrity of the election administrators. So we've paid a lot of attention to designing policies and to execute policies with adequate mechanisms that can ensure that with regards to operational and logistics of the conduct of election, we are efficient, and also our staff exhibit the necessary professionalism that is required. But it also requires a lot of training and retraining, and I must say that we have benefited remarkably, tremendously from many development partners in order to raise that level of professionalism and competence of our staff.
If I may ask you, people are expressing concern about the security in the country. Boko Haram, as we know, has stepped up attacks on innocent civilians in various parts of the country. In some areas, they are even controlling some areas in the country. Will elections be held there? And what is the cooperation with the security agencies to bolster security to protect these voters from being intimidated to cast their constitutional right by casting their ballot?
There is absolutely no doubt that there are security challenges in some parts of our country, and that there are concerns as to whether elections could hold in those areas or where insurgency has been stepped up, as you said. In particular, the three states of Borno, Adamawa, and Yobe. We, as an election management body, have been working very, very closely with the security agencies to understand and analyze the situation and to be able to rely on their advice as to what levels of security arrangements are necessary to be able to conduct credible elections in those areas. I can say that we, as an election management body, in terms of operations and logistics, we are preparing to conduct elections everywhere in Nigeria. But to deploy for the election, we have to rely on the advice and the support of the security agencies in these three states that are under emergency. So all I can say is that we are hopeful, and we are also prayerful that we will be able to conduct elections everywhere in Nigeria in February of 2015.
Protecting the vote is critical as part of the process to administer a credible vote. Some people have expressed a concern that previous elections, when supporters feel that their candidate might be losing, they just go grab the ballot box and run away. How do you prevent this from happening?
Since 2011, when we conducted the general elections that year, we have introduced checks and balances and mechanisms that can, first of all, protect the polling units, and also that ensured that if, in spite of that effort, somehow a ballot box is snatched, then the election is cancelled in that polling unit. And we have ensured that, unlike the what happened in the past, because people snatch ballot boxes so that they can go and stuff them and then bring them back into the process to be counted. We have ensured that there is no way, once a ballot box leaves the polling unit, there is no way it can come back into the system and be counted. And of course, if you cancel, we have had concerns because some politicians would now target areas where they think they are weak and right. Start snatching ballot boxes so that they can be cancelled. But we've worked very, very closely with security agencies to prevent the possibility of snatching, to make it virtually impossible for people to snatch ballot boxes. And as we did subsequent elections, we have recorded remarkable improvements, and we had less and less occurrences of that kind of activity. And where it happened or attempts were made, we were also able to now apprehend and to prosecute those who have attempted to do so. So we've been doing our best to minimize some of these fraudulent activities. We established what we call an interagency consultative committee on election security, which brings together the Electoral Commission with all the security agencies, and we met regularly. We've been meeting regularly before an election, immediately after an election, to do assessments, to plan what to do, and to review what has been done, and to take new measures as we move further. So, frankly, with all those measures, we believe that the issue of snatching ballot boxes is really brought to the barest minimum, and wherever it occurred, we also canceled the results in those units. So it has served to a significant extent as a deterrent also against those who had the habit of snatching ballot boxes.
You have recently come under some criticism for coming up with some measures to create new polling stations in parts of the country. Critics have said that, well, Professor Jiga is creating this to boost the chances of the North. And others are, you know, coming up with all kinds of either ethnic or religious divide to interpret what this, why this came about. How do you explain that? And how do you win the confidence of people who are criticizing this move, saying you, you know, trying to favor one region against the other?
There is absolutely no truth in the allegation that we are trying to create polling units to favor one region against the other. And we have done everything possible to explain what we are trying to do. The primary objective is to make it easier for registered voters to come out and vote on election day without experiencing difficulties or waste of time. Polling units, the current number of polling units in Nigeria, which is close to 120,000, were created in 1996. You know, it's been a long, long time. Demographic shifts, population growth, you know, new settlements have emerged. So, and we felt that if we want to add to the credibility of the 2015 general election, let's make it easier for people to come out and vote, so that there will be higher turnout, so that people don't come in a polling unit where there are 4,000 registered voters, so that they don't get frustrated and go back without voting. Right. That's what we've done. We now have a biometric register. These polling units, no matter what their number is, can only be populated from the biometric register. So people are afraid that if you have new polling units, then some people will use them and bring fictitious voters. It cannot happen, because every polling unit can only be populated from the biometric register that we have. You know, so we've done our best to explain. We have the best of intention to add to the credibility of the process. Those who are making allegations of ethnic or regional agenda, you know, we said prove it, and nobody could prove it, you know. So, benefit of hindsight, we probably did not do sufficient engagement with stakeholders after taking the decision before commencing the process of implementation, you know. But those things happen. But since then, we've done our best to explain, and most Nigerians have understood what we are trying to do, even though there are still a few who are very, very passionate about accusing us of a regional or ethnic agenda. So we remain undeterred as a commission in terms of doing what we believe is right, that can add value and further reform the electoral process. And whether or not we eventually create polling units will not be because of the accusations or allegations, you know. But if we have genuine, legitimate reasons, like time, whether there is sufficient time to be able to do this and finish it before the elections, you know, but then we will reconsider our position, you know. But we will remain undeterred by allegations and accusations which really cannot be substantiated.
Before we leave you, how are you coordinating with international observers who will come to monitor the elections, especially when people want to see what the assessment is when they monitor the poll?
INEC believes very strongly in encouraging observers to come and observe our elections. We have guidelines and we have a system of registration and accreditation for all foreign and domestic observers. And as many of them as meet these requirements are accredited. So we have benefited from the reports of international observers, those who observed the 2011 general elections and gave us their reports. A lot of the reform measures we introduced to improve the process were drawn from the reports that we got from independent observers. So we appreciate the effort of those who find time to come and observe our elections. But we urge them to respect our rules and regulations, because the major concern about election observation is some may tend to be intrusive or even may tend to interfere with the process. So long as people come just to observe and to write reports and to give reports to us so that we can learn from those to improve, they are welcome.